Welcome to the game with Glenn Quatermain and Adrian Barrich. Quat is a veteran footy scribe with hands so small he can only carry 2 pints. And Barra, an Eagles original, Perth Demons diehard, and regular face on Channel 7.
Hello, Adrian Barrich here from 7 News.
He'll tell you about the 1991 Grand Final, except he got dropped after the prelim. We don't promise any fancy sound effects or bells and whistles. It's just two blokes talking football.
Yes, and there's no better bloke to talk footy with than Adrian Barrich, the great man, the G-man. Welcome to Quarters and Barra. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch this AFL season? Choose Tab Touch. But please gamble responsibly. If you have any problems, please call Gambler's Help on 1800 858 858. Barra. You can smell the liniment. You can smell the freshly laid lawn on the MCG because it has been freshly laid after Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
But you've got some breaking news. You've been at the airport talking to West Coast coach Adam Simpson. Tell us what he said.
Yeah, well, it was quite interesting because he was trying not to give away. Well, this was just before they flew out, so the press conference, and he was trying not to give away the team. Which is a bit tricky, isn't it? Because half an hour later, you're at the airport.
But we've got two big ins, haven't we?
Yeah, and he said, okay, Jack Darling is on the plane. So is he playing? Well, if he's on the plane, I think he's playing. Yeah, so there's that.
That is big news for West
Coast. Huge news. What a comeback. Yep. What a recovery by Jack. And then there's Bailey Williams because, you know, the ruck's a massive problem. What about Bailey Williams? Oh, look, I don't really want to talk about the team. But he'll be at the airport, will he? Yes, he'll be at the airport. So he's in the team. So he's on the plane.
So you've done your job. And we'll get to that. I mean, obviously Jack Darling is crucial. Post-Josh Kennedy, you've got Oscar Allen, who didn't play footy last year. He's very much a part of that structure going forward. Jack Darling, critical to their structure. I reckon that inclusion alone, and we'll get to the tips in a little while, but I reckon that inclusion alone could very well swing it back the other way.
Really? So, because a lot of people were bleeding when they heard Elliot Yeo was out. Obviously, Nick Nat and
Big
Yeo.
Big out too, yeah.
And you know who mostly was bleeding? All the fantasy football people. Because he is almost the most important player in their 18.
He can make changes.
Yeah, I know, but apparently he's so
before
cheap.
Kickoff.
You should have seen Ryan Daniels and Nick Wrynn running around like they just didn't know what was going on. Who are we putting in here? How are we going to do this?
Bounce down, still a few hours away, Barry. You can still make changes.
Tanner Bruin was the other one I thought. It was one of the biggest bombshells in terms of fantasy on an even of season all time. There you go.
That's got a bit out of control, hasn't it? And the news from Fremantle is that son Michael Wilders won't be making the trip east to play against St Kilda. So he still hasn't played against his old mentor, Ross Lyon.
And where do we sit on him? Because I feel like now Switzkowski, Schultz and Frederick, does Sonny fit in there into their forward line?
He fits in there at his best. I think what you saw at the point.
I love Sonny, by the way. Yeah. I'm not having a crack at him, but
it's hard. You know what?
You might have to play bench.
Great sides, Barra. You have these battles for the spots, and that's what they've got right now. I think, and the forward line is very much still a work in progress. But with Sonny Walters, I think we saw at the back end of last year, Barra, he rose in finals. He was a good player in finals for him.
Very
so
true.
I think the good players do rise to the occasion. I think him at his best, absolutely, he is in that side. But Switkowski, no player. I mean, I reckon
he's a barometer.
He is the barometer. He gets the footy, and they look like they're going to score. And not just him. He
so
distributes
important.
So well. So let's
and
get
Schultz
on.
Schultz is their second leading goal kicker, and Frederick is unbelievably quick. So
they love
tricky,
Frederick.
Isn't it? Tricky.
Love
Unless he
Frederick.
Plays wing or something, but I don't think he will.
Not yet, but I think they've got an eye on him for the wing position. And I know opposition teams find him very tough to match up on because he is so quick. So, look, we'll get to the tips very, very shortly. Just one last point on concussion, Barra. As we broke in the West Australian yesterday, a second wave of concussion suits set to be... Peter Jess and Greg Griffin, they've been
another working. 40 players, wouldn't
they? Well, no, keep going. 100. Well, they've got 100. Peter Jess has had 130 players come through his organisation who've had neurological issues. So I'm not sure what the exact number is, but this is a So I spoke to Peter Jess. He was in Italy talking to the Serie A clubs about concussion issues, and he said, we've been dealing with Peter Gordon and the AFL over this for a long time. They have all the data we have provided because every single player that's gone through them, they've had tested. So they've got all the data. The AFL has the data. There's a definite correlation in their opinion between concussion and their issues going on, and that they didn't want to go to court. They didn't want to take that action. They presented them with a statement of claim. They believe that they should. This would be X amount for these players.
Yeah.
And over to UAFL. And that conversation, according to Peter Jess, has stopped. So therefore, they will pursue court
action. So they've tested 130 players.
Yep.
So and they were saying, like, they want to claim $2 million each. That's what they were saying.
That was 60. Okay. 60. That was the other group of players.
All right. Well, let's just say it is $2 million each. I'll just do the maths here on my phone. That's $260 million, a quarter of $1 billion.
Eurasia.
It ain't happening.
Eurasia, mate. Peter Jess estimates, looking at the National Football League in the US and what's happened with their payouts, and looking at the long-term payouts from the AFL, he believes they should have a war chest of $2.5
billion. $2.5
billion. That's going ongoing.
He's dreaming.
Okay,
he
well,
is dreaming. And I love
space?
What he's trying to do, and I love that they're trying to help players and support them. But for 130 blokes to come out, I played in the system for 6 years. The last thing I would try to do, even if I was in hardship, would be to sue the AFL.
Got a lot more information now, though, Barra. It's okay. An interesting area. Now, let's get into the tipping, mate. Let's get into it. Round one. Can you believe we're saying round one?
Oh, it's been brilliant.
It is so long.
Tonight. 4:10, 7, mate.
Look, I know there's all this intrigue about preseason games. I'm of the mind just to not have any, just to have intra-club scratch matches. Don't play against the other team and bang into round one earlier.
Really keep the mystique right up to the last moment.
I reckon it would be great. Back in the day, you used to have practice matches, at a bit.
Well, the pre-season comp's gone by the by, hasn't it?
It has.
So in some ways, you're probably right. Even when Adelaide and Port came over here, it was just practice games, wasn't it? So,
or tack a couple more games onto the season and let's roll it out and see the intrigue. Can you imagine round one bounce down and you don't know anything?
I know. What about Eagle Air? We need to talk about that too. They're flying with the punters today.
Well, the Dockers will be doing that as well. And I think it's a great idea. There are pros and cons. Great column by Anna Hay in the paper today, by the way, in the pre-game. But
as long as you're not 6'11" with dreadlocks, you should be sweet.
Pros weigh. I think the pros outweigh the cons.
They get all to sit in. Basically, they all sit in business class.
Yep.
So they all get proper seats, and the punters are down the back. But I was talking to Simo about it today, and he said, well, we do get some direct feedback. And in fact, when we got pumped by Geelong, we got some very direct feedback on the way back from Melbourne. I don't think that's exactly ideal, is
it? That's not going to happen, mate. I don't think.
That happened, mate. I just told you. But it happened last year.
I don't think on. Mate, last year they probably had reason to do it. But I just think ongoing, you've got to police that a little bit. You can't have some bloke with one too many giving it to a player. That won't happen. If you do, they'll be in a bit of trouble.
If the boys have to walk past him, it's very tempting.
Let me ask you, I remember the great Carl Langdon telling me about the famous game against Fitzroy that flipped the season on the head, and I think that might have been 92 when you won the flag.
Yeah,
were you on that play?
Yeah, I was.
Did you fly back with Fitzroy from Tassie?
Yes.
And did it get a bit willing?
Mate, it was very close. In fact, and there's several examples.
So you played Fitzroy, they beat you, and you flew back with them from Tassie. Did you have a couple of beers with them?
Man, that was crazy as well.
Did you have a couple of beers with them, or did it actually get a bit willing?
Well, you know, Carl, he's always a target with that dyed hair, you know. The other one that happened was when the Eagles played the Dockers in London, and it was a pre-season game. And Andrew Embley tried to get on the Dockers bus and fight Ryan Crowley. Like, anyway, we're just talking about combinations that shouldn't happen.
Did Chris Connolly make an appearance in John Worsfold's coach's box?
No, the other way. Woosha was looking for Connolly, and he kept kicking open these doors, you know, these corporate boxes, and he'd get the wrong room. He'd go,
What goes on?
And Suma had to interrupt him and go, listen, mate, settle down. And Steve Mill Axis was coaching at Fremantle, and he said, settle down, Woosha. Like, mate, it was crazy stuff.
Why would you care about an exhibition game in London? 87.
Because they were targeting our young blokes, mate. They were going after Cousins.
unless it's 1987. The Battle of Britain and Clarko goes nutso and hits Ian Aitken.
Still blokes squaring up with Clarko about that. Don't worry.
And if you broke
his jaw.
I wasn't there, but
allegedly.
If you're an Aussie, he broke his jaw. He broke his jaw. In fact, I'll go
that. That was Glenn Quartermain. He said that for the record.
Well, he, mate, was Ian Aitken was never the same. No, anyway, true. Anyway, let's get on some
anyway,
tips.
Anyway, we're off track, but Eagle Air is happening. So basically what's happening, the Eagles are flying with the punters who have paid money to sit on the plane with them. And it's a forerunner perhaps of having a private plane. The Eagles and Dockers really need a private plane.
Can you imagine?
With all the travel.
Can you imagine? Because I know when Frio played in the 2013 grand final, I know some corporates paid top-end dollar to go on the plane on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they ran Hawthorn very close but didn't win. Right. Can you imagine being a supporter on the plane trip home across the Nullarbor if you've won? How wonderful an experience would that be?
Like in 92 when we came back. And
You'd be drinking out of the premiership cup.
I was just magnificent. Yeah, I get that, but I really think the AFL is going to get serious that the Perth teams need their own plane and their own arrangement so they can be massaged, they can have ice packs, you know, they can
they used to get
they
the
can
bikes.
Walk around in their undies, you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Walk around in their undies. I'm not sure if I'm all that keen on that, mate. Tonight we have a big game. Starts at 4:20 p.m. MCG, Richmond on Tab Touch odds, $1.65 against Carlton, $2.25. Massive intrigue over this game. There always is. Will the turf stand up? It probably will because they're pretty good at it these days with turf technology. But with the Ed Sheeran concert recently, there's some doubts over that. The Richmond coach, Damien Hardwick, comes out and says, "I was at Ed Sheeran. I don't care. It was a great experience. And, you know, it's worth it." New mids name for Richmond. New inside mids, Taranto and Hopper. A couple of exits there that are significant that will change the shape of this Richmond side, Edwards and Lambert. Carlton, I'm picking Carlton, Barra. I'm picking him by a couple of kicks. I know they're missing Walsh, who's crucial to them. And you know I'm big on them finishing top four this year. I just like their strength at the stoppage. I like Cripps. I love the inclusion of Akers on a wing. He's a big body that'll add to them. A couple of debutants for them. Ollie Hollins, who's an inside-outside mid, and Lockie Cowan, who's a defender. And both these kids have really stood up in the preseason. They're really big on him.
And also Blake Akers, of course, which I reckon's...
Yeah, Akers on a wing.
He's
yeah.
the one that probably makes me think the Blues could do the job. Because I actually tipped the Tigers, but now I'm having a look at them. They're not super. They've got Taranto and Hopper on the ball, so that's going to make
still
a
still a lot of experience. And when you look at the forward line, Lynch, Martin, Cochin is a bit of a watch this space one this year, I reckon. And the guy at half forward, Shai Bolton.
Yeah,
so Shai Bolton, a lot of people have put him in their Brownlow frame this year at a pretty good price. So
he's a very good player.
Still a lot of experience in there. I'm just not sure whether this list has been to the top a few too many times and they're on the way down the other side. They certainly look like it at the end of last year.
Those two ins are huge, though.
They are good ins, but, you know...
You've got Cochin on the bench. Tell me about the Blues. Where do you think I was having this debate with Ryan Daniels. Where do you think the Blues improve? Cripps won the Brownlow, so can't play better. Kerno won the goal kicking, so he can't play better. They got Akers, that'll make a bit of difference, but unless it's just maturity and you know young guys like Chera and that start delivering.
You've
more.
Just hit the nail on the head. I think players like Chera will be the difference to whether Carlton climbs into that eight and climbs even further. Chera has to. He's been in the system now 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for him to just make that next step. He's a very good player, but that's all he is at the moment. He can be a lot better. Some people doubt that, by the way. Some people don't think he can. I think he can.
Toss of the coin, isn't it? Wiedering versus Lynch. It'll be Lynch. It won't get Revolt. It'll be Lynch. So
he will get Lynch.
And Mitch McGovern's playing. Like, I don't know about Mitch taking on, he'll be taking on Revolt probably. I mean, that's going to be interesting.
Had a pretty good season last year in moving to defence. So I like Mitch McGovern in
but
the
But hasn't
backup.
He been, he hasn't played a lot pre-season, so... I think the Tigers. I am going the Tigers. You're going the Blues.
Now, if you've gone, I'm going, mate. Don't change now. You know what happens when you change, of course, halfway. So you're Tigers, I'm Blues. Friday night at the MCG. Just when it simmers down and you think, geez, that was a big night last night. Tonight can't get any bigger. Well, it can because Geelong, the reigning premier, at $1.52 playing Collingwood, who were just a smidgen off the grand final at 2.55. 6 points separated them in last year's qualifying final, Barra. Geelong goes in without their talisman, Joel Selwood. The good news for them today, Hawkins has been past Fitch. Huge for them.
Huge.
Will Jeremy Cameron play? We don't know. His wife's due to give birth. Yeah. So he may.
Somebody said he was talking about doing a Zoom.
He could do it. Well, he could do it. He could leave at half time.
How would you feel about that if you were his partner? And
times have changed, Barrett.
He was zooming in to watch the birth.
I'm led to believe he'll go at half time.
Really?
If he gets the call.
I'm worried about Geelong in this game. I think Collingwood, because Collingwood think they should have been in the grand final. They probably should have been in the grand final against Geelong. They should have beaten Sydney. So,
a couple of big inclusions too. Ollie Henry from Collingwood, kid I really love. Remember him last year against Freo, turned the game on its head when Big Cox went down with a finger injury in inverted commas.
Yeah, pulled him off.
And Ollie Henry comes on. Good player in those sorts of conditions. It was wet, and they turned the game on its head. So, and Taylor Broon comes in for – he's another one of those GWS kids who comes in. So I think lots to like about Geelong. I'm picking Geelong. Mitchell, McStay, Bobby Hill, three big ins for Collingwood too. Everyone loves Collingwood, but everyone expects them to just take that next step, mate.
Wouldn't they? I mean, that's what you got to ask yourself. Why wouldn't they? They're a very young team. They've got a great coach. And Geelong, that Tommy Hawkins thing's huge because he hasn't done anything in pre-season. So if he doesn't fire and you're telling Jeremy, Nikofsky during their game, it makes me feel like Collingwood's going to win.
History is littered with young teams that burst out of the blocks and then everyone sort of picks them to pieces and then they just take a year
They've
or two to
They've got special players though, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. But Dacos won't get – Dacos spent – 75% of last year running around on his own.
Yeah, I know, but he's very special.
I'm telling you, they'll sit on him. So I'm just not convinced with Collingwood. You know what? It's going to be huge. Sell out tonight. Sell out tomorrow night. And by the way, those two kids for Carlton making their debut, 90,000 at the G.
I know. And you didn't mention Tom Mitchell.
Tommy Mitchell. So he's Well, he'll be the extractor that they need.
McStay and Hill, you mentioned those two. I mean, I feel like almost changing my tip to Geelong now. To Collingwood now.
So you're Geelong. We're both going Geelong. Saturday, Marvel Stadium, 10:45 a.m. Western Standard Time.
10:45 on a Saturday.
Yeah, I know. It's not ideal.
It's not ideal. That's 3 hours, mate.
The Alistair Clarkson coached North Melbourne at $1.50. Would you have bet that they would be starting round one at $1.50? Oh. No, you wouldn't. Against West Coast, $2.02. So, as you said earlier, I think Yo's a huge out.
Mm.
Nick Nat is a huge out. When you look at the ruck department that North Melbourne will go into this game with Goldstein, a lot of experience. Bailey Williams has been past fit, which is great. And Jack Darling, massive, massive, massive in for them in terms of that forward line structure. We can't wait to see Oscar Allen out there and playing some, just getting some footy continuity into those legs, mate, because we know what he can deliver. No Ben McKay significant out of that North Melbourne defence, but Griffin Logue comes in and he is the sort of player who can, I think Alistair Clarkson's earmarked him for a Josh Gibson type of role.
So what happens now, though, because now Jack Darling's playing, does that mean that Griffin Logue goes to Jack? It seems like a better matchup, and I think he's played on him before, but Oscar Allen is going to be, he's crucial, isn't he, now, Oscar? He actually has got the makings of being the bloke who can fill in for Josh Kennedy, so... I think they're undermanned in defence. Bailey Williams and Callum Jamieson up against Todd Goldstein, that just worries me.
And you look at those Alistair Clarkson coach sides and we see Jack Zeeble expected to go back and spend a fair bit of time in defence too. Mm. He likes those general type players marshalling that back half, doesn't he, Alistair Clarkson?
It's a bit of a nightmare quarters, isn't it? I mean, they've got the super coach in, you know, there's a lot of hype, there's a wave of excitement, a lot of North Melbourne people will get there. It's Marvel Stadium, the Eagles have lost Nick Nat and Elliot Yeo. It just smacks of a boil over. And if you lose to the bottom team in round one, it's a momentum killer, isn't it?
Well, North was the bottom team. West Coast was second bottom.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
We should wish three kids and one newcomer. So Jinby, Chesser and Long.
Mm.
Good luck to you. Congratulations playing there. That's three debutants.
First time since 2018.
So which was a premiership
year. But they had experience. Got Liam Ryan, it was Venables, and who was the third one? It might have been Waterman.
Was Waterman.
Yeah,
yes.
So it's a little bit different. But Noah Long, they've obviously put him in because, you know, the wheel, they're turning the wheel, aren't
Chess
they?
Chess is an interesting one. So he missed last year with that leg injury and didn't play much the year before, the year he was drafted because he was injured. So he's had a long time in recovery, but they – first round draft pick, huge raps for him, as they are for Jinbi. And Long's really been the revelation. He was a later draft pick, but that small forward who can really give them something. So
he'll only play a quarter and a half.
Been likening him to Mark Lacroix, which is a pretty big, you know. The other one is Jaden Hunt, who'll come in and give him a bit of bounce off that half-back line, that Melbourne recruit, experienced player. I like him, always have. So it's a bit of a flip of the coin, this one, but I am going to pick the Kangaroos to salute in round one.
Yeah, I'll stay with West Coast because they will lift for this. This is their moment, really, to start the season this way. Jai Cully, what's happened to Jai?
He's still in the mix.
He was flavour of the month with amongst those young
blokes. He's not played a lot of footy, though, Barra. You wouldn't want to go in with four green players, would you? It's over there. In
so you reckon they chose Chesser over him?
I do.
Or Noah Long over him?
I think so, yeah.
With his left foot, it feels like he's the one that's gone off the boil.
Nah, he's going to get plenty of chances. It's just, you can't. I think Adam Simpson the last few weeks has been at pains to point out, you can't just put these kids in and expect them to stand up from the first second and then keep playing. They're going to be ups and downs for them. They're going to be in and out of the team.
He looked good in pre-season, though, and then they dropped off him, and now he's not in the team.
But I really like exposing these three, particularly in round one, you know, with the build-up. It's just good for them to experience that. So, and from what I've been told, they've all got wise heads on young shoulders, and Jinbi in particular has been just grooming himself for this moment for a long time.
But, mate, he's got to play inside mid. Hello?
Yeah, it's
hard. He's going to get bashed up. And, you know,
they'll look after him, mate.
Who's going to look after him?
Well, they might have
to. Tell me someone who's going to look after him.
They might have to swing Shuey in there for little bits and pieces. I'm sure they'll work their way around it. Jinbi's not going to play the full game inside mid, mate. There is no way it is.
Well, they've got Kelly, and Shuey's playing half back, and Yo's out. So
that's why I haven't picked him, mate.
Cunnington, imagine that. Oh, anyway.
And good luck to him, too. He's had his health issues over the last couple of years. Good to see him back in the team. On to Saturday afternoon, 2:35 p.m. Western Standard Time. This is a tough one. Port Adelaide, $2.02 at home at the Adelaide Oval, playing Brisbane, $1.80. Now, they're $1.80 for a reason, Barra. Weren't far off it last year. Some huge ins for them. Dunkley, Gunston, McKenna, and possibly the biggest in. Now, I've just reeled off three pretty big names. Will Ashcroft. Can't wait to see this kid in action. They reckon he's a 10 to 15 year Joel Selwood type. Will lead this club into the future. Brisbane, lots to like about him. I love what the inclusion, the recruiting in the offseason. Gunston, I reckon, could be the recruit of the year. That forward line has been almost a good forward line, but there's something about it that hasn't gelled. I reckon Gunston's the sort of player with his accuracy and experience.
Absolutely.
Takes a little bit of pressure off, can gel them together. Port Adelaide, lots to like about them. I like, they're as close to full strength as they've been at this
both
stage
sides
for
are.
Several years. So it's an intriguing game. Junior Rioli, a big in. Where is Port going to get the goals from? Well, they've got Georgiades, Dixon, Finlayson's fit again, which is good. So, look, I'm just going to, if you look at the recent history, Power have won the last three at the Adelaide Oval. Brisbane have won the last three, but they've all been at the Gabba by an average of 32 points.
The last three clashes between them.
I'm going to say Port Adelaide win this one because I think they play finals this year and it's at home.
Jeepers, mate.
Long season, mate.
Brisbane's going to win the flag and you're tipping against them in round one.
No, they're not.
Mate, they're going to go as close as anyone.
And
you've got Dunkley and Gunston coming
team in. Team in the next game win the flag.
Mate, you have to tip Brisbane here. They look special. That's an unbelievable side they've got in for tomorrow. Well, all right, we'll see what happens.
Then 4:25 p.m. MCG. Now, these are the teams I've picked to finish 1 and 2. Melbourne at $1.60 playing the Western Bulldogs, $2.35. Some big outs for Melbourne, Viney, Fritch and Salem. May. Now, this is what could swing this game. May is in some doubt with a calf injury. But you look at this side, Grundy's a huge in. Now, that release has gone to play more as in the forward line. I still love that midfield led by Oliver Petraka-Brayshaw. Lockie Hunt is a big in for them. They've got Josh Shacky now in attack to help out Ben Brown. And while Luke Jackson comes out of that team, I like the structure. I like their settled. If May plays, there is certainty, I reckon, in this game.
Yep, I agree.
But if he's not, it swings it back in the Bulldogs' favour. If May doesn't play, you'd be tempted to go Norton, Ugel, Hagen, Lobb and Sam Darcy just to really test that Melbourne back half. But I think It's going to be, we'll get our first look at what he's doing with that forward line, because it looks too tall, and there was talk of Sam Darcy going back. I'm not sure how they're going to go. You know, Gawn Grundy v Tim English would be a great matchup. I'm going to pick Melbourne by about 7 points, just over a kick, but I wouldn't be surprised. You know, it really hinges on May and whether he can get up for it.
I love that Gawn's copped it, sweet, and lets Brodie Grundy basically lead the ruck, and he's pushed forward. So it feels like Melbourne's building again. If they must win another premiership. They can't just have one premiership with that squad. So to do that, they have to start well. So I like the Bulldogs. I like their forward line. I like Liam Jones. He's finally, that'll fix up their back line, their dramas they've had back there. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Rory Lobb goes too, won't it? Hey? Just see how, if, I don't know if Stephen May does play, but if he plays on him, he'd be, or even Jake Lever, he'd be struggling.
They've got Norton, Ugelhagen. There's a lot of options up there. So I like the Dogs this year. I reckon they're going to really come hard at it. I just think Melbourne win the flag this year. I know it's early, but that's my early call. Next game at Heritage Bank Stadium. Do you know where that is?
Heritage Bank. Who's playing?
It's the old Metricon, mate. It's just been renamed. So this is Gold Coast at $2.25 versus Sydney at $1.65. This is a 6 p.m. bounce down our time. Sydney coming off an 81-point grand final drubbing. Does it affect them? The coach, John Longmire, says absolutely not. I say it does, because I think those psychological setbacks are really hard to come back from. I see them sliding but still playing finals this year. You look at their side, it's just laden with class. Mills, Parker, Warner, who just incrementally impresses us every year. Expect Chad Warner to have another massive year. Had a big year last year, an even bigger one. Heaney, that mid who can drift forward. And I like Gold Coast. Ben King's back. That is massive from an ACL. Well led by Tuke Miller, Noah Anderson. You know, there's a lot to like about them. I just reckon Sydney will be up for this one. They've had a long, hot summer to think about just what happened on grand final day last year. And it is Sydney. It's not a million miles from the conditions you'll get on the Gold Coast. So I'm picking Sydney here.
Yeah, me too. I mean, Buddy is playing, it's by the sound of it. Logan McDonald came out this week and spoke about the pain that it caused him missing the grand final.
And Sydney.
Especially how...
Mate, I'm telling you, they don't lose by that much if he plays.
And
that's a big mistake.
Obviously, Errol Goulden, we absolutely love. They look cherry ripe. They look like premiership contenders. So we're tipping Sydney, eh?
If they win the flag, what does Errol Goulden do on the premiership dais? Does he do this coming off, swinging off a chandelier or something? I don't know.
You love the Errol.
Oh, I love the Errol. Mate. Yeah, I love the names. I'd love them. GWS versus Adelaide at Giants Stadium. GWS $1.65. Adelaide $2.25. Intrigued by what the Giants are going to give. I've actually picked them to finish last, Barra, because of their outs. They've been huge outs.
Yep.
And but new coach Adam Kingsley comes in. He might just galvanise the group. He's promised a new playing style. And the talk is we're going to see a fair bit more of this orange tsunami, Barra. But I think he needs to focus more on when the ball's going the other way. I'm sure he has. A new captain in Toby Green. Playing against a side. They're first father-son player. Now, that's amazing, really, for the Adelaide Crows. But Max Milcalany, and his father was Jim. He's a Norwood great in the Sandful. They did have Andrew Jarman's son, Ben, and Tyson Edwards' son also at the Crows, but they didn't play a senior game. So he'll be the first father-son in Adelaide. I really like them in the preseason. Yep. New captain in Jordan Dawson. I like the way their forward structured, but I really like the way their tackling pressure has risen throughout this preseason. I'm going to pick Adelaide to win this in a bit of a, I guess it's an upset because it's a giant stadium. I think they're going to be a team that's greatly improved this year, but doesn't play finals, but will be thereabouts.
Yeah, the Crows have really impressed me in pre-season too. When I saw them closely here, I watched them closely, and they really stunned the Eagles in that second game. And obviously Isaac Rankin, he's a fair in. And I think Darcy Fogarty, he's really impressed me. He's the new Taylor Walker, and I think he could be anything. So
the old man down the road.
Yeah, the old man down the road. We're all Fogarty fans.
Just had the producer looking for the cancel button there. No? I quite liked it.
Wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Hawthorn v Essendon, MCG, 12:20 p.m. on Sunday. Hawthorn, $2.30. Essendon, $1.62. The arch rivals, Essendon with a new coach in Brad Scott, a new captain in Zach Merritt, a debutant in Alwyn Davey Jr., no Jake Stringer. Hawthorn, new captain in James Sicily. Obviously, Sam Mitchell in his second year as a coach. Couple of mids to look out for. I really like Cam McKenzie, who was taken early in the draft, has looked great in the preseason. He'll play. Josh Ward has taken a next step. Will Day will be huge for Hawthorn. New players for them. Carl Amon, Lloyd Meek across from Freo, Fergus Green, he'll slot into the forward line, and Cooper Stevens from Geelong. It's a bit of an arm wrestle, this one, as Hawthorn Essendon tends to be. I don't think either of them are going to give the eight any real shake this year. In fact, I know Hawthorn will finish lower than Essendon. They'll be bottom four. It's a young side, but they will play some good footy at stages this year, Hawthorn.
Well, this will be good.
And I'm picking them now. I'm picking them. Let's be honest, Barra. I'm tipping I won't be picking my boys too often after round one.
The greatest Hawthorn supporter in Western Australia. I thought, oh, he's going to go Bombers here. And you couldn't. You couldn't do it, my friend. Alwyn Davey Jr. You know Alwyn Sr. He played exactly 100 games. He knew what he was doing, didn't he? He wanted to get his son across the line. I think Will Setterfield's a big in for the Bombers. I'm going to go the Bombers, mate, not just because you're a massive Hawks man.
Go for whoever you like.
I think the Bombers have to show something. Surely they have to show something. They have to give a yelp. And I'm not sure your guys are super keen on progressing too far up the ladder. They're still rebuilding.
You try and tell the kids who are playing not
to
win.
No, good point. Good point. It's hard to. And Carl Amon, he won't care about that sort of stuff.
I reckon a couple of W's early do great things for a team. And that goes for Essendon as well. You get a couple of W's on the board early days, it just sets you up. You frank what you've been doing in the preseason. Because I think either these two sides will struggle at.
Yeah,
at phases during
and in
the
late
year,
so. Late in the game, there's no doubt some of these young blokes are going to be going. Where's Tommy Mitchell to get it? Oh, he's not here. Oh, no, Jager will fix it up. Oh, he's not here either.
See,
you know what I mean?
You know, just on those two, I think both were win-wins because I think Tom and Jager, we needed a quicker midfield. As they were great servants at Hawthorn, but we needed more pace.
Brownlow medalist.
And I think what they give to Fremantle and Collingwood is exactly what Fremantle and Collingwood needed. So it's a bit of a win-win. But, you know...
Warple and Ward will be going looking around for help at some stage, and it ain't going to be coming. There's no cavalry there anymore. What, so.
You don't like Jai Newcombe?
Yeah, have you seen him in the preseason? I do like him. I do like him, and I think I think he's a little bit overrated, but he's good. He's good.
There's a fair bit of cavalry there. Yeah, they're just young, mate.
They're young blokes.
They are. Final game, and not the least significant.
No, here we go. Rossi Lyon versus his
Marvel
old club.
Marvel Stadium, 1:40 p.m. our time, I think it is. Is that right?
Yeah, 4:40 p.m. Eastern time, yes.
St Kilda, $2.75. Frio, rightly at $1.45. Ross Lyon's return, and... as much as he'd like to knock off his old team, with no Membry, no Max King, no Billings, no Ross, no Zach Jones, no Caulfield, it is a depleted attack and a depleted team.
30% of his salary cap, he said, is in the stands. 30%.
So is he already making excuses?
Well, I think he's made it for him. He's setting up the Dockers to sort of come over very cocky. How's Max King? Not only has he got the shoulder, he did his hammy.
Yeah.
As well. How's he going?
I think that's when you're like Ben as well.
Not
when
even playing, he's done his hammy.
When you're that tall and athletic, you're going to be prone to that stuff, aren't you? We just want to see the Kings out there playing footy. We're all intrigued about the Freo attack. Tabana, Fife, perhaps Tracy, Schultz, Switkowski, Frederick. As the smalls around them and mediums around them. And we know how well the midfield goes with Brayshaw, Sarong, O'Meara, Will Brody. Jackson now slots into that side. So that's a really interesting, the matchups in the ruck department. But
isn't it? Rowan Marshall, I really rate him. I can't wait to see him go toe-to-toe with Sean Darcy, and then Luke Jackson comes in, and, you know, that is intriguing. I like Butler. Tim Memory, you got to lift, mate. Come on, you got to lift. There's some blokes
here. He's not playing.
He's out, is he?
He's out.
Jeez. So that's an extra. So they've got King, Jones, Billings, Allison, Hayes, and McKenzie all gone. Unbelievable. That's massive.
It is.
They can't win. It's got to be Fremantle.
Well, they can win. Unless because strange things happen in round one. We know that.
Even with Supercoach and his defensive mechanism and 10 goals to 12, I'm thinking they'll kick enough goals. They'll kick 12 goals, Fremantle, won't they? Easy.
Give me a margin.
I reckon. I reckon 25 points.
I had 24 written down. Only out of respect for Ross Lyon's coaching. We know what will happen to St Kilda. They will be more accountable team. There's no surprises there. They will definitely be accountable.
Fifey so fired up to prove a point. And I saw Peter Sumich's article that's... Fifey has been pushed out of being captain.
I don't think Fifey, I agree that he was pushed out of the captaincy.
And he needs to play midfield if they want to win the flag. What do you think about that?
No, I think he will be a midfielder at times this year, but I think predominantly as a forward. I agree with Sumer about being pushed out of the captaincy. I don't agree that he has to play midfield. I think they've got enough there. He's a big body, Fife, but he hasn't been out in the park much the last few years.
So do you sense there's some tension between him and the club or not?
When you get
a double Brownlow medalist, a dual Brownlow medalist, and you're out of captaincy, I'm not trying to start anything here. I'm just going what
sounds
Sumer
like you are.
It's what Sumer said. It was on the back page of the West.
I know. I think if you look at Fife and the decision he made, it was very late in the preseason. So that suggests to me, apart from the cackle that we thought he was pushed, is that he was really wanted to be part of that leadership group, whether it was a shared role or not. So, but a lot of the players wanted Alex Pearce in. There's a lot of love for Brayshaw, a lot of love for Sarong, and the players underneath them. I think Switkowski's part of that leadership group now. O'Meara has stepped straight in. He's part of that leadership group. So
if you're Sarong and Brayshaw and you're in the middle, are you looking for Fife to take the tagger, or are you looking for Fife to protect
Fife
you?
Won't be in the middle with him.
That's what I mean. Was that worry you?
Well, doesn't O'Meara partly play that role now?
Well, yeah, but so he's more the Mundy model. They had Mundy.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Fife was the man. Don't forget how good Fife was, mate. He won two friggin' Brownlows. He's no mug.
Yeah, but that was
imagine the protection you get from that.
About 3 or 4 years ago.
The focus that goes to him.
3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, okay. I know that. I'm just saying. You're right. They did absorb a lot last year.
He's a different player now. He's a very clever player. One thing he does do to that forward line is he's very hard to match up on. So he can play on the smalls, he can play on the talls, he can play on the mid. He's a big upper body. He'll give him that contest. So that's why I like Josh Tracy in this side too. Nothing against Amos, who I love. He's going to be a long-term player. He's going to kick a lot of goals for that club, and we know he will because he's dead eye. But Tracy and Fife, to a lesser extent, just need to create some carnage. Get out there and create some carnage to the opposition defence. And if you can bring the ball to ground.
He wants to stick it up him, and it's not the opposition.
All he has to do is kick two or three a game, or two a game. That'll be fine.
Kick 40? Yeah. He'd be pretty happy with that.
And you bring the smalls
into
the
game. He'll have the last laugh. He'll be thinking that.
30 from Schultz last year, 28 from Frederick. So they've got the capacity.
Yeah.
So I think Freo win this by 24 points. And go on to have a pretty good season.
So let's have a look at the team. Chapman, going to be super. Absolute rising star. Alex Pearce, great leader. Luke Ryan, just a gun, isn't he?
Just keeps getting it done every year.
Hayden Young.
Justin Ferris winner. Yeah.
You had Hayden Young down, mate. What's the story there?
What do you mean down?
You had him right down in the 20s.
Oh, you're talking about my top 25 power list.
Yeah, I know. What happened there, mate?
He's still in the top 25.
Yeah, but geez, you had him low. And you had Fife at 7. Explain that,
very
my friend.
Very important to them in that forward line structure. Very important. It was weighted on, yes, ability.
Okay, I didn't understand the criteria. Explain to me.
Well, the criteria is also on importance to the team this year and the roles they play.
Hayden Young, very good player.
I couldn't agree.
Sets him up.
Well, he's also in the leadership group. Yeah, so it shows what they think of him. But he
could have got him in the teams, at least.
His delivery from halfback is so important for them. And also, don't be surprised if he shuffles up the ground a little bit at some stage this year too.
Yeah, onto the wing. Brendan Cox, just fantastic. Jordan Clark's going to have a breakout year. He had a breakout year last year, but I reckon he could almost go All-Australian. Jager was spoken
about. That's a big call.
Mate, he's a very good player. Liam Henry, I don't think
I'm going to say Brendan Cox does. I mean, he was second in their BNF last year.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He's a very good player.
Does O'Driscoll get on the wing?
As long as he stays off the skateboards and doesn't injure himself, he'll be fine. O'Driscoll is the sort of player. He doesn't early because he's not playing, because he's out still coming back from injury. But I think O'Driscoll, for me,
he played for Peel.
You know the sort of player O'Driscoll is? He's the sort of player who comes on in a grand final and kicks you three. And he kicks them from
everywhere.
And inspires the team. I think they like him for long term on a wing. They really like the look of him there, and I do too. It's just not quite, his body's not quite ready yet. So get some games into him, sort of play him maybe half forward occasionally on a wing, yeah. and then slide.
I love
him
the bloke. He was at Perth the other day handing out jumpers and that. He's just one of the world's best blokes, and he's
a real X factor player too.
Yeah, fantastic family from Northam. Frederick, hopefully he comes up. You said Tabanar, Sutskowski. Jackson in that forward line would be frightening lining up on Jackson. I don't even know who would line up on Jackson. Who they got back there? Joshy Battle or someone like that. And then you've got Lockie Schultz and Fifey. It's a great setup. They must win, and they will win, and it'll probably be more than 24 points.
Well, we'll be sitting here on Tuesday with our tails between our legs. I suspect I might have a bigger tail than you, because I've gone a bit cavalier in round one, which I don't normally do. So let's see how we go.
Up. See, Duff leaves and you loosen up, mate.
I do.
To show your true personality.
Barra, now it's time for this.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel mailbag.
Yes, and thank you to Thirsty Camel, long sponsor, and we appreciate the input. Week one, in fact, the first 5 weeks, we're giving away a $50 voucher to Thirsty Camel.
Wow.
So when we announce the winner, and today will be the first winner, and you will send your details to quartersandbarra@wanews.com.au. Any email, please keep them short. Please give your details and send them to quartersandbarra@wanews.com.au. Barra, a lot of love for you.
On Tuesday, you
were a little bit somber.
I got smashed.
You got some
few people smashed me. Duffield, he's a genius. He is a genius, and he's one of the best analysts of all time. So I can be cast in that role, but I'd like to be a bit lighter and have fun with you.
So let me read some.
I saw the great man today, and I said, mate, I got thanks a lot. You didn't tell me I'd get smashed because I'm filling in for you. Like, it wasn't my choice, was it? I didn't go, look, I'm going to come over the top of Duff. Duff's not here. And so I've come in.
You just be you, Barra. And that's what Doug Cooksey says. Doug says, Barra, we want humour, stories and analysis. One weekend, you've been exactly that. I love Duff, but the team was getting stale and needed a shake-up.
Oh,
I think he means me, not
crucial.
Duff, mate. But anyway, thanks, Doug.
Rachel.
Appreciate it.
Doug
Joel Yeldon. Barra, it's Joel from the CNNC Riding Group at your local dog walking cafe. Can you talk me through that?
Oh, yeah. Mate, there's a lot of great cyclists in my area, and he's one of them.
And so the local dog walking cafe. So you know this guy?
Oh, because I've got three pugs, so people look at me walking.
So did you ask him to send this in?
No, but I must look like a nafty walking three
You've
pugs.
You've asked him to send
this in. Can you imagine Barra? Three dogs that look exactly like him walking along. People go, look at Barra with these three pugs. Can I just explain? Yes. I didn't want three pugs. We had two pugs, right, which is normal, two dogs, you know, company. And the third one, a lady went to America and she said, could you look after my pug for a couple of weeks? And then COVID hit, she never came back, so we had three
pugs.
But
she's still there.
So we've got the third. You can't give the dog back after a year. They're a different dog. So she's now with us, and I look like an imbecile walking three dogs. There's
so,
no doubt.
So you know who I've got? I've got Ruffy, little Jared Ruffhead. He's my black and tan chihuahua. You know, he's
Chihuahua. You and Langdon have got chihuahuas.
Well, it's his brother. It's Langdon's dog's brother. Joey.
Yeah, dinkum.
He got the runt. I got the special one.
Glad you didn't go with the rhyming slang.
Anyway, he says, don't worry, mate, you're a bloody great addition to the pod. Duff, of course, will be missed because he was a Dockers supporter.
He's a great man, Duff.
But, mate, don't worry at all. You're the perfect replacement. Your voice is easier on the ears than Duff's Bunbury drawl and miles better than Quarter's Victorian accented drawl. Just pump up the Dockers now and again and I'll be happy. Look forward to the pods ahead. Yours faithfully,
that must be
Joel.
The winner. There's
Thank
the winner
you,
right
Joel.
There.
We might, maybe.
Do the camel noise
hang
for
on.
Us, will you?
Let us just hang on a second.
How's it go?
This one from Andrew from Leeming, High Quarters and Barra. Clarko has a very poor behaviour history. Will your time will come occur for him? And, of course, he is referring to the incident with the female journalist at Arden Street.
Who sent that in? Carolyn Wilson.
Carolyn Wilson. But, I think he actually apologised after that, but then said, I can't say it won't happen again, because he has got that combative nature about him. But I think there's at a time and a place, and I think everyone would acknowledge he got that one wrong, Clarko. So maybe his time will come, but he'll look back and say, I've got four flags, so you know, might have another one at North coming.
Yeah, Hawks blokes, you love saying that, don't you?
Yeah, we do, mate. Here's a couple. Michelle writes in, High Quarters and Barra. Optus Oval has had no football in round 23, 2022. In 2023, no football was played in rounds 1, 5 and 14. So that's this year. Why does the AFL scheduling and broadcasting team continue to produce inadequate fixtures and very poor scheduling that continues to be problematic for the fans, members, supporters and sponsors of the two WA clubs? Regards, Michelle. So if we look at round 23 last year, Freo played in Canberra, I think, or Giants. Anyway, they played GWS away. West Coast played at Geelong. What a horrific final round that was. This year, round one, we know why there's no local games. Ed Sheeran concert, they needed 10 days for the ground to recover in time. That won't happen again, I'm pretty sure, Barra. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be better at scheduling major concerts at AFL venues in future. Let's not forget, it's a pretty major tenant. Even though Ed Sheeran's huge, AFL plays throughout the season at these venues. Round five, they're not playing because it's Gather Round in Adelaide, which may well come back here in future years. We certainly hope it does if the government bids for it.
Where would we play our extra games? So obviously Optus would absorb most of them.
Well, you could actually play all of them there. You could go from
But isn't that's not the point, though, isn't it? Isn't it?
Well, it depends, really. You could play.
Could you go down south somewhere? Or?
Well, not yet. I wouldn't think so yet. What about the Wacker?
Yeah, that's so close to Optus, though. But you're right, exactly right. And Joondalup could host a few, couldn't
it? Nah, yeah, not AFL games. I think the idea would be to...
Northern's got a great oval, but no grandstand.
No doubt it has for a pre-season fixture at the moment. There's some great oval, Bunbury, there's some facilities there that they're developing. Bustleton.
Because the Gather Round's gone everywhere.
Well, you're talking about the Magic Round. The Gather Round, well, there's a couple of games that have, but most of them are at Adelaide Oval. Mm. And I think if it was here, they'd all be at Optus. You'd just spread them. There's no reason why you couldn't.
I'll just answer that. Obviously, a lot of the coverage is driven by where the fans are, and most of the fans are in Victoria. So Friday night footy, unless the Eagles are flying or the Dockers are flying, it's very hard for them to schedule Friday night footy. The Dockers have got one this year, I think.
Oh, it's a big one too. It's the opening round of the Anzac round.
Yeah,
standalone opening game. And they could win their first five. I think it's round six, correct me if I'm wrong. So they could win the first five. They're flying, they're on top of the ladder, and they play the Western Bulldogs here on a Friday night standalone game.
Big.
Rory Lobb v the Dockers. Mm. How big would that be?
All right, for $1 million, my friend, what are the Dockers changing their name to for the Indigenous round?
Oh, yes, good.
If you can pull that out, you're a genius, because it's hard to pronounce anyway.
Wodja.
Begins with W.
What, Jack?
I don't even know what it is, but it ain't that.
Sorry if I'm disrespectful, but I can't tell you right now. No, we should know that. Let's Google that.
I'll get that up for you.
You Google that. We have one from...
That's a classic case of you should know the answer before you ask questions. Isn't that how it normally works? Anyway, to finish that, prime time in the East, you've got to be massive.
Oh, also, they mentioned round 14. Round 14, West Coast has a bye this year, and Fremantle is playing away, I believe. So it is really hard to... Travis Old has the fixturing job and has had for some time, and I can't think of a more difficult job at the AFL than trying to keep all the clubs relatively happy and putting that fixture together. It is a nightmare job because no one's ever 100% happy. But I think with the local teams here, I think we need more. The real key to the fixture here is Saturday night standalone games, because obviously it's prominent around the country, and it also helps. WA is a different place, mate, in terms of there's a lot of country members come up, and it's a longer drive, let's face it, than for a lot of the Victorian.
And it's a 5:40 start anyway,
and
isn't
New
it?
South Wales teams.
For the East, yeah.
That's right, and so most of the Queensland supporters are drawn from the metro area, as they are here, but there is a lot of support out there in Western Australia. So I think Saturday night games is kind to everyone, and also let's not forget the kids who have to go to school on a Monday morning, and Fridays are just hard.
Think of the children. Here it is, the Dockers' new name. Walyalup, Walyalup, Walyalup. Okay. So the Walyalup Football Club. So the Dockers in the Indigenous round, known as the Sir Doug Nicholls round in Western Australia, will become the Walyalup Football Club for 1 week.
And they're playing Melbourne.
Yes.
Who are also renamed.
You got that
better
one?
Go back to Norm. The Google, mate. last one here, and possibly the winner. This one from Joaquin. Well, this is the email address. It's actually John. But morning, gents. Do you think the AFL has missed a trick and let the NRL get the jump by starting the season too late? I was in Queensland and central New South Wales over the past 3 weeks, and I feel the AFL has missed out on a huge market share as the NRL season kicked off 2 weeks before the AFL. Mm. All the talk and news was about getting the great opening rounds in the NRL up. I've heard almost nothing about the AFL. It made me think about the AFL overall and how, in my view, the AFL is in the shadow of the NRL when it comes to out-of-the-box thinking. The NRL has, for example, pre-season All-Star Games, Magic Round years before Gather Round, Country Round where regional areas can see football, not just token games in Ballarat and Darwin. 2 weeks early season start gaining free air for sports-deprived fans, decisive new team additions not waiting for government stadium funding. All true. Do either of you feel the AFL should be doing more to gain attention of fans to win some market share from key areas like the Gold Coast and Eastern Sydney? The only correction I'd make there is I'd say yes, Gold Coast, but I'd say Western Sydney. I think they're going okay in Eastern Sydney. Mm-hmm. Had a team in the grand final last year, the Sydney Swans. I think they've got good support, Sydney. I think it's Western Sydney where it's a problem.
Yeah, particularly, and there's only about a billion people out there.
And they had two Western Sydney teams play off for the grand final last year. Yeah, this is a nightmare. Name? This is John. Look, pre-season All-Star Games, I don't think people care about All-Star Games in the pre-season. I think you play them in-season or post-season. I think Magic Round, they're right about that. It stole the march and the AFL has followed suit. Country Round, where regional area, well, yeah, I'm not so sure there. 2 weeks early, yes, love it.
Yep.
I think we should have an earlier start for sports-deprived fans. And he's quite right, new team additions not waiting for government stadium funding, of course. Tasmania, who we're waiting for the call on Tasmania, which is totally reliant on federal government funding. We believe that happens in May. So,
Let's be honest. The AFL pantses the NRL generally, okay, in terms of crowd numbers, absolutely pantses them. And normally they dominate the media cycle. You know, you have the draft, you have the trading period. They screw down other sports, there's no doubt. Question. But you're right. That John's
I think
right.
The key areas John's talking about is in Gold Coast and Western Sydney.
And that's the only time I've seen them starting the NRL season early. That's where they stole on a march. I reckon he's picked up on that. That's very good. The Magic Round was a belter. They've come up with that, so we'll give them that. And State of Origin is the other killer. They've got State of Origin. Which is
massive.
The greatest product. And how the hell we lost State of Origin when we invented it in 1977 and a West Australian bloke dreamt it up and suddenly they snatched it. We don't do it anymore. Mick Moldhouse basically killed it off. When I was at West Coast, there was no encouragement to play for your state. In fact, Guy McKenna had to go out against Mick and say, no, I'm playing. I don't care if I'm a bit sore and if I get injured, you're going to crucify me. I'm playing for Western Australia. I want to play State of Origin.
And what did Mick say?
Mick cut him no slack. Gave him no encouragement. He basically said, nah, club footy's what it's all about. We want to win the premiership. So you can understand
the
dichotomy.
I'll throw something else at you, though. I agree. I'm actually a big NRL fan, and I'm a big State of Origin fan.
Me too.
But their premium product...
I played it.
Their premium product is State of Origin. State of Origin...
Bigger than
Trump's
the grand final.
Yeah. It would never happen in the AFL. There is no bigger event in Australia... Besides the tennis, I'm talking about round ball codes. Obviously, Tennis Australia Open is huge, and Melbourne Cup's big. But this, I think the AFL Grand Final just trumps everything else. And
well, it's with State of Origin, they're on the same level, aren't they?
Well, no. AFL Grand
Origin's
Final's
pretty big.
Oh, it's big.
And it's the two biggest states watching it. Queensland and New South Wales.
Origin's big, mate. And the numbers are big for eyeballs on TV. But I just think AFL Grand Final, mate, you can't go past it.
That might be the Victorian speaking in you, but anyway.
Come on, mate. It's a big day.
Hey, what's the email address?
Okay, so look, I reckon...
How come you haven't been smashed? I've asked people to come on and have a crack at you. There's been no bad feedback.
Mate, I just a lovable bloke. I'm just a battler. I'm Barry Battler.
I need some vigorous assessment of the great man here.
Okay, so I think the winner this week, if you agree, goes to Joaquin. He knows who he is.
Joaquin.
John. It's John. And he can send his details to quarters@wanews.com.au.
He was very good. Melbourne changed their name to NAM. NAM is... So it'll be NAM... playing Walyala.
It's a great idea.
In the Indigenous round this year in Perth.
Now, the two local clubs, West Coast yet to follow suit this year. It's not in their considerations this year, but I think they've got a pretty good history with their development of Indigenous players and what they've done in that space.
They should change their name to Wallage. Wallage means eagle.
Which Wallage. Is their foundation,
yeah,
the
exactly.
club.
Used to be Wirra's foundation, now it's Wallage.
I think you have to represent the area, don't you?
Yeah.
If it's
I don't
name.
Know how that works, mate.
That's what I believe. Anyway, listen, good luck, Barra.
Yes.
Good luck to everyone with their round tips.
How excited
round
are we?
Tips. We're excited. It's the countdown.
Almost bounced down.
Not long now. Is everyone racing home to watch it?
What time do we go to air, Graham?
I've got a fair bit to get through before I can watch that game of football. But thanks for listening.
It'll be on at my desk, my friend.
Look forward to recapping what is always a huge round one next Tuesday on the Quarters and Barra podcast.
If you're a fan of the podcast, why don't you get in touch? Send your thoughts to the Thirsty Camel mailbag at quarters@wanews.com.au. And don't forget to like, subscribe and, of course, tell your mates. This has been The Game with Quarters and Barra.